The dream economy is here. Are you coming? Welcome. My name is Catherine Morrison, and as I've coached countless online entrepreneurs into six, multiple six-figure and $500,000 businesses, I've learned a lot. One of the main things is that I'm not just here to help you create a high quantity of money. It's actually pretty easy. I'm here to help you do that through the highest quality money imaginable. That means activating and amplifying your unique frequency to take your being and form it into a magnetic, sharply differentiated brand that has clients dropping in out of the sky, salivating to work with you specifically, not someone who does that thing you do. I'm here to help you open the channel for the creation that wants to come through you, where growing your business and building demand comes from razor-sharp business precision, and business growth is always tied to an expansion of your pleasure. Expanding your mind and your nervous system to create more, receive more, and be bigger in visibility and impact in the world than your rational mind ever imagined possible. This isn't matrix business building. It's business building through soul ascension. This isn't just business coaching. This is the timeline to your destiny. Are you ready to play? Welcome to the Ascension Through Entrepreneurship podcast. Let's get started. How are you all feeling? Oh my goodness. I just got back from a week-long trip to Mexico City with my girlfriend, Olga. For all you Brand Alchemy Accelerator peeps, you know her from the office module. So my friend Olga is a famous interior designer. She's currently writing a book that will come out next year from the same publishing house that has done a lot of Martha Stewart's books. And super fun fact, she interviews me for that book. So I'm very excited about being a part of it. And Olga's work centers around how to use interior design as a tool for manifestation. So if you are a longtime listener to the show, she was actually my guest on episode 81, if you want to scroll back. And then when you join the accelerator, there is literally hours of footage of her doing her spatial alchemy magic inside of the accelerator. So she did like, I don't know, over a dozen office design consults on how to help people literally shift their physical environment to amplify and expedite their manifestations. It is seriously, so crazy fun. We've had so many people do that work in their office, like the inside of the accelerator, and then have this giant wave of like client consults come in, like more consults within a week than they've ever had in a month kind of thing. It is so wild and literally just like breaks my brain open about what is possible when you start to learn to work with energy in this way. So anyway, Olga is a magician. And actually, if you're listening in real time, you can go out and get the latest copy of Better Homes and Gardens magazine because there's an entire feature on her within this month's edition of that magazine. And because she uses interior design as a manifestation tool, she's like doing something that no one else is doing right now, right? She's bringing manifestation to the mainstream and she's tying it in with her work. She was an interior designer, did like West Elm catalogs, like worked with really top high-end designers, all the magazines in New York, all that kind of stuff. So when you join the Brand Alchemy Accelerator, you can actually tap into and receive her entire process of how to shift your office space to call in sort of like lubrication towards your goals and calling in your future self. So anyway, I did this trip to Mexico City with Olga, and that is who Olga is. And I had never traveled with Olga. So we met a couple of years ago in a program for spiritual entrepreneurs. And we just really got along from right out of the gate. We were really attracted to each other. You know, we were on the same frequency. So we like have been thick as thieves ever since. But it's been more of like an internet romance. And so to just be with her physically for an entire week. And I have to say, like, please give yourself the gift of entering coaching communities, going into programs that have highly aligned networks. I am so grateful. Like, we were actually talking, Olga and I, on the cab, like the program that we did was sort of just okay. But it was so well worth, I think it was like a $5,000 program, and literally just meeting Olga, it like made the entire investment worth it. So give yourself the gift of surrounding yourself with highly successful and magical people who are doing extraordinary things in the world. We had so much fun. We both love top-tier design, and beauty totally turns us on. We both love the sensual pleasures of life. You know me and my pleasure. And Olga definitely loves her some pleasure. So it's just like eating the flaky crust of a croissant filled with guava puree, or the saturated colors of a long wall filled with amazing hand-woven Mexican textiles, or just admiring artisan gold hammer jewelry. Like, and then we also connect on an intellectual level, right? So we totally vibe on our love of beauty, our love of aesthetics, our love of artisan crafts. But then on the intellectual level, to like just have someone to nerd out with for an entire week around online business and marketing and sales and growing like a big girl business. Like, we're both pulling in entirely new paradigms through our work. And honestly, we're like on the same team. We're doing the same. We're pulling in the same paradigm just through different angles. And it's not just through those mental and strategic planes. It was also so fun to be with her. And so if you are someone who is drawn to spirituality, make sure you're getting yourselves in rooms where you're getting connected to mystics, to magicians that understand on a very deep level how to do actual magic and play in the quantum realms. So this amazing trip I took to Mexico City folds so beautifully into this episode, because I would say in the last year is where I've really built and constructed a business, like the team and systems and processes that actually allow my business to run without me having to physically be there. So I just remember, like, the first couple of years, like, it was heads down. And if I wanted to take vacation, I could do it, but it was like a lot of, I had to reschedule calls. I didn't have the systems and processes. I didn't have the support in place. And I just want to say, like, seriously, to give yourself the gift of scaling your business to the point where you can be completely in your zone of genius at all times, and you have the support and the systems and the structure of a business that literally runs without you, so that you can like run off to Mexico City with your friend for a week. Like, oh my gosh, I seriously want everyone in the world to have that experience of allowing themselves to grow a business that's strong enough to feed them back. So many people just keep their business at the level where they have to, it's a baby business and they have to keep feeding it because it's a baby. You really want to give yourself the gift of allowing your business to grow into a more adult business that can really start to feed you back. So for those of you starting to consistently sign clients, and you know you want to start to prep for that solopreneur to entrepreneur transition, which is that transition from like, it's a baby business and you have to keep feeding it, to like, no. I'm growing a company and that business is going to start feeding me back. And you know, pleasure and precision is the place where you want to start to really lay the foundation for the company to begin being built. We're going to unpack that today. Because as you begin signing clients, it's so important for you to begin building out a back end. This is something that I learned the super hard way. And I want to sort of lay out the mistakes I made and what I wish I had known and done differently on my business journey. Or, I mean, it's like, I don't regret anything, but it would have saved me so much suffering. And actually, like, so I put in so much more effort than I had to get where I am. And now that I understand, like, systems thinking, processes thinking, like, people think systems and processes, they're like, oh, it's so boring. I'm like, no. Once you experience what it provides for you in your business, your pussy will get very wet thinking about them. So when I was building my business, I put myself into a mastermind that was focused on selling. It was focusing on marketing and sales. So that's the front end of your business. And that was amazing. because it was so deeply supportive in me really gaining mastery over that part of my business, like the front end piece of my business. But my mistake was not learning about or gaining support on what the back end of my business, first of all, even was, right? Like when I first started, I had worked in companies, but like there had been people that developed the systems and processes in the back end of the business, right? And so there was so much, it was like, I didn't even know what I didn't know. And I didn't know where to get started. And I just didn't know how to develop a back end. So I want you to think about your business as a tree. Let's call it an apple tree. And your front end, that's your marketing and selling and client creation, like your sort of penetration out into the marketplace, right? It's the branches of the tree. And of course, you want to have a tree with lots of branches and beautiful, green, healthy leaves and an abundance of yummy apples growing, which if you're tracking with my analogy, is a delicious abundance of clients deeply desiring to work with you. Just if you look sort of at your business, all of those apples on the tree are all of the clients you're holding and supporting. And you want that to be, you want that tree to be filled with apples. But what you see coming up from the ground, from that tree and the branches and the green leaves and the delicious apples, that's actually only one half of the equation. And in order for the tree to actually grow tall and high, it needs to have a strong root system under the ground. And the root system in your business is the back end of your business, the systems and processes. If you've ever heard the word SOP and wondered what the heck it meant, that's part of developing your business and its back end into an actual separate entity from you. Remember, so it's not just the baby that you have to keep feeding. You want to actually grow your business, and your business just doesn't do this on its own. You have to create the systems, the processes, the support, the structure that develop the business into an entity that stands apart from you and your brain. Okay. It's a structure that can live and breathe and operate without you doing anything. Your back end is also your support system, which is the team, like the people that you're going to bring on to help support you and help actually keep that delicious business running and operating while you are either moving towards the visionary role and looking at like, okay, this is what we're doing a few years down the line and I'm going to work on this. And then your team is running the day to day. Or if you're just going to Mexico City with your friend for a week, right? So you can think of your back end as all of the stuff behind the scenes, sort of under the ground that allows everything else above the ground to thrive. Okay. And for those of you who are like earlier on in your business, like especially up until your first $50,000, I just want you to listen to this as like a knowledge of like, oh, okay, like, of course my business will grow to this point. And so I'm going to want this and I'm going to clock this isn't something I need to worry about right now, but I know that this is coming and it's good to know that this is coming. I just didn't know that this was coming. So before we double click into any of that further, I want to unpack some of the reasons why I see people avoiding developing out their back end. Because on the one hand, yes, there could just be like, you literally do not know what you don't know. So if you're only in a program that's teaching you the front end, the marketing and sales piece, then you just don't know. It's sort of like the back end is a question mark. And if you don't put your attention and your focus on like, oh, but what is that question mark? Let me fill it in. Then, you know, you're going to get capped. If you don't have a back end, you really get to the point where you cap your business results, and not just in terms of how much income you're able to bring in, but also the energetic cost, which then starts to cost you more in your top line revenue. Like I see so many solopreneurs not taking the time to start to do this work on the back end of like really strategically thinking about what systems they can put in place, what processes they can put in place, how they can make passive marketing versus active marketing, how they can develop things that sort of amplify client delivery without them having to be there, like all of those things. And the energetic cost of them not doing, like slowing down and really doing that work, is that they're constantly having to do everything themselves. And because they're constantly having to do everything themselves, if they unplug, they can't go take vacation from their business. Like it would literally stop running. right? That's the baby business phase. Like if you walked away from the baby could not feed itself, right? And it's in this phase, like you are a little bit chained to your business because the business literally will not run without active effort of feeding it constantly. And then because of this, because the solopreneur is running a business that actively requires them to hold and touch every piece of what gets created, what gets posted, what gets delivered to clients, they are so stuck inside the business of doing, right? Like this is when you're stuck in the business and you're not zooming out and working on the business, right? And so when you don't take the time, when you're so stuck in the day-to-day, I just see so many people get stuck. I know we've been talking sort of about that, like that difference between getting to your first six figures and then really moving towards seven figures. People who are at six figures are people who are generating income, but they're like really stuck in the day-to-day. Whereas when you look at giving yourself the gift of growing a business that allows you to have like a top line revenue that is much higher and you're pulling out at least $100,000 for you to just live on, right? That's a very different business structure. And that's when you want to start thinking about that transition of actually creating a business that's not a baby anymore, but you're actually actively developing a structure, a system, an entity outside of you that can start to feed you back. Okay. And when so many people, they don't even understand like that this is an option, a path to developing a proper company that can stand on its own and live and breathe and run without them constantly. When solopreneurs don't understand that this is an option, they will feel so energetically frayed by their current amount of work because in their mind, it's like, well, I have to do everything. I have to touch everything. And so I definitely don't want to double or triple the experience that I'm having right now. And then the connection that they make in their brain is like, so I don't want to grow my business. I don't want to double or triple my income because what my brain associates with that is doubling or tripling the experience I'm having now, which already feels like it's too much to hold. Right. And so what I just want to suggest is if you're there, if you think about doubling or tripling your day-to-day experience and that feels overwhelming, it is like for sure a sign you want to come into the mastermind and start to build out what does it look like, because you can't get to the next level of doubling or tripling by just doubling or tripling your effort. And we really need to start to think about what systems, what processes, what support, what scalable offers, what do you need to start creating and putting into place right now so that your business is able to start scaling and you are able to have a business that lives outside of you. Okay. Now, here's the thing though. There's a handful of reasons I see this happening. Like the resistance or the, it is resistance. And I think it's also like not, it's an identity shift, basically. I just want to start to build some awareness around this in case it's happening for you, because this was me. I was at like, I think I was at least $500,000 in the past 12 months before I brought on support. And I was fucking miserable. But I had been taught to not bring on support. It was like an arbitrary rule. It was like, don't do it before you hit $200,000. And there was like no nuance and like, oh, but if you have three kids and if you have like a net worth of this, or like if you have this like run rate and it's tracking, like I was just following a rule. And then because I am like so good at both doing marketing and selling and teaching marketing and selling, like that front end business precision you all are coming into the mastermind to like really master, I was able to grow like and bring on the apple tree, right? I was able to bring on and like grow those delicious green leaves, the delicious red fruit. I had so many clients coming into work with me, and I did not have the back end. And what I realized though was, yes, there was the skill around marketing and selling, but it also was me running. We have to see how deeply we have been taught to effort our way towards things and to run things from a very deeply masculine place. So lots and lots of efforting and action and pushing, right? And sort of to the brink of my capacity. And for me, and what I have seen with so many of my clients, and I just want you to start to check in. I was literally just coaching someone on this week. And she's, I think she said in like a $400,000 business, but like actually being proud of it being hard, being proud of something having to take you overcoming adversity to have it. And I've noticed this as I coach a lot of very high performers, is that there is this piece of identity that comes along with it of like, look how much weight I can carry. Look how much strain I can endure. And this identity for me, I feel like so often I think this is true for a lot of coaches, but we tend to attract people who are sort of former versions of ourselves. And my dad worked 9 to 9. So my dad grew up super, super poor. And then he was like, look at how much weight I can carry. Look how much strain I can endure. I will work 9 to 9. I will work 9 to 9. I will work all the time. And he built wealth that way, right? And that is a mentality that you can have. And I want to say, like, this identity of being willing to carry the weight, being willing to get in there and like work and get muddy and all of that, right? It's very common for solopreneurs to actually thrive this way. It's a gift. It's a superpower. It's a part of their identity that allows them to thrive as solopreneurs. Because if you think about it, what makes you super successful as a solopreneur is your ability to roll up your sleeves and literally do everything yourself. Right? It takes a level of grit, of commitment, of steel will to get a business off the ground. And so that identity, that sort of like lone wolf, that pride and being able to do it all yourself, that sort of like, look how much I can carry. I sort of imagine for any of you that saw Encanto, there's a character, Luisa, and there's actually an amazing song. I think it's called Under Pressure from Encanto. So if you're trying to feel into what the energy of like this sort of archetype is, it's definitely the character of Luisa. She's like, I'm not going to buckle under pressure. I'm going to just carry more and more and more. And I think that's what my value is. And I see so many people have been sort of trained in this way of like, that is my value, is how much I can do, how much weight I can carry, how much like strain I can endure. And because that identity actually is very common and is a superpower that literally allows someone to get from ground zero as a solopreneur and to really start getting their business to fly and succeed, that same piece of identity, that same disposition becomes the thing that will hold you back if you want to transition from being a solopreneur to being an entrepreneur with a company that can run without you. So in order to actually thrive as an entrepreneur, you have to, I don't want to say kill that part of yourself. Like, I almost think of these pieces of ourselves. Sometimes we are genuinely ready to just fully release a part of ourselves, but there's some parts of me that I'm like, oh, no. Like, I'm not releasing you. We're just, it's like a switch, and I'm just turning this part of myself to off right now. Okay. You cannot maintain your pride in being able to do everything yourself and also allow yourself to build a company where you are luxuriously held and supported, and you can surrender yourself into that. And I just want you to tune in right now. If your business feels like something where you could sort of like lean back and surrender into, and when you think about your business structure, if it feels super strong and supportive and like something that could hold your body, right? And if it doesn't feel that way, that's a really good clue, right? Do you want to have that experience of a business that can deeply hold you? And those two identities literally cannot exist together. And so if you're in that solopreneur phase and you're super proud of being able to do it all yourself, yes, I want you to be proud of that. But hold that pride lightly. This is brand alchemy. Like, it's identity work, right? So you want to hold that identity of yourself lightly, because if you then attach to it, if you attach that part of your identity to yourself of like, I can do everything myself and I'm so strong and powerful because I can like look at all this adversity and strain and whatever I can endure, right? That will literally, it will hold you back, right? From expanding from solopreneur to entrepreneur and building out a proper company. Now, that's the releasing of the identity, or sort of like letting that part of the identity go back, of like the strong independent woman thing, the like, I can hold everything, I can do it all myself thing. But I just also want to tune in right now and just notice if you have any judgments or resistance to the idea of being a lazy queen who is fed grapes. I'm using the word lazy strategically because, especially in America, we have this super intense puritanical work ethic thing that has, for hundreds and hundreds of years now, had people who are conditioned in our culture running themselves into the ground to prove their worthiness. And if you've been around the block with me, you've heard me mention before that traditions and cultural norms are literally just dead people haunting us with their archaic constructs, right? There's literally no reason why you should be more proud of yourself if you had to struggle to achieve something. There is literally no reason why you should be more proud of yourself if you did something and it was hard than if you did something and the result came easily. And I'm going to say this again in a few different ways, and just notice how it registers in your body, your body's like visceral response, okay? You can be as proud of yourself for results that come easily as for results that you struggled and strived and hustled for. Money that comes easily and effortlessly is as valuable as money you had to hustle and grind for. There is no reason to be proud of yourself if you had to struggle to achieve something. Just notice. Just tune into any prickly sensations that came up in your body, any feelings of like energetic walls coming up and wanting to tune me out, any sense of resistance. Because basically, the phrases I was just tapping you into were the transition points between survival and thriving, right? And I'm not here to coach you into a business that you can survive with. I am here to coach you into wildly thriving. And so we always just want to be aware, of course, like we're willing to do whatever it takes to get our business off the ground, but we want to become very deeply aware of when we start to attach and sort of get pride and we like there's a part of us that like likes it. Like, I like that it's hard. I like that I'm a little attached to it being hard. I like the adversity, because we will then subconsciously start creating things to be much harder on our path to success than they actually need to be. And what I've noticed as I've coached more and more people in the transition from solopreneur to entrepreneur is that many, many, many people actually have an addiction, an attachment to their results being hard. Many, many people are attached to their money and results having to be hard in order for them to count them. And if it comes super easily or effortlessly, they actually try to discount and don't give themselves credit for it. Like, I see this if a client has a referral come in that easily signs with no objections, they just want to immediately discount it. Like, oh, that doesn't count. It was like so easy. And you want to just begin to really deeply consider what if you're doing that. First of all, scan for any place where something is coming easily to you and you're discounting it and you're sort of shooing it away and saying it doesn't count. Because then you want to start to think about what is the compound effect? What is the cumulative impact of constantly disregarding and discounting and not letting things count unless you had to work super hard and overcome adversity in order to achieve them? Now, again, listen, I'm not saying don't work or only do it if it's easy. Okay. We're going to do it whether it's hard or whether it's easy. We just aren't attached to it having to be hard. We're willing for it to be as easy as it will come. And we're willing for it to be as hard as it's going to be. Okay. But I'm saying being willing for scaling your business to be hard, that's very, very different than scaling my business is going to be so, so hard, but I'm going to muscle through this, right? I'm going to be so strong. It's very different than holding your business with a gentleness and saying, yeah, if it's hard, that's what it's going to be. And I can face that. And I can sort of let that run through me. And I am also going to continue to welcome in and attune myself to the vibration of ease. Okay. For those of you coming into Pleasure and Precision, we are setting up your businesses to scale. Okay. And we are setting up your businesses to scale with as much pleasure and ease as possible. Okay. We are setting up your businesses to make massive amounts of income while setting up the structures and systems and offers that allow you to deeply help and serve more and more people. Okay. It's not just the manifestational, like attuning ourselves to the vibration. Part of our co-creation of letting it be easy is we have to get the entrepreneurial skill set of building out a back end, building out systems and processes, understanding how to attract, hire, train a team. Okay. And it's so interesting because I know on the surface, like, of course, all conscious minds are like, of course, I want to help tons and tons more people. And of course, I want to increase my income. And of course, I want to build wealth. But I want you to just get super curious about, are you willing to allow yourself to have that much wealth, that much visibility, that much impact, while being a well-rested queen? Well-fucked, well rested, and well paid. Just notice what's coming up if you feel triggered by that phrase. I've had so many people in the accelerator. There's like conversations that happen around how triggered they get when I say these words. Okay. But then what happens is they are willing to get curious. They're like, oh, okay, Catherine's hitting a button, but Catherine didn't create that button in me. Catherine's just hitting it right now so that I'm able to see the idea of being so well paid, so well rested, so well fucked, a lazy queen, a royal leader being served, a royal leader being deeply cared for, a royal leader allowing themselves to be luxuriously supported, to be fed grapes. If that brings up a trigger, I'm touching the button, but I didn't create it. And you want to start to get super curious about what button I'm pressing inside of you that is there. And do you want to allow yourself to be continually triggered by the idea of allowing yourself to rise to that level, to allow yourself to elevate to that level of respect and regard for yourself and your work for the world? Okay. Now remember, a couple episodes ago, we started unpacking the shift in identity to move from six to multiple six, multiple seven figures. And that's going from someone who has had some clients, right? If you think about what gets you to that six figures, it's that scrappy solopreneur. I'm going to get in, I'm going to get messy, I'm going to throw things at the wall, and I'm going to see what sticks. I'm going to sling out some marketing posts, right? But when you look at that next level, it's elevating yourself to someone who perceives themselves as a leader, as a cherished asset, whose value is protecting your light, shining your light, building your light, cultivating your light. And that's your energy, right? Someone who has, it's interesting because I feel like I noticed the word visionary is something a lot of you are having trouble even seeing yourselves as ever being. But if you have a vision for what your impact in the world will create, you are a visionary, okay? But when you have that scrappy, do-it-all-yourself solopreneur identity, that is very different from an industry-leading visionary who is leading an entire movement. Just feel the difference of those two identities in your body right now. A scrappy, roll up your sleeves and get muddy and get things done solopreneur, and a leading visionary who is birthing a movement. You have to do the identity work first, or you will take your hustle and grind and scrappy identity and throw everything at the wall mentality into scaling your business, and it will be a fucking mess. This is when I see people, like, they keep that identity and then they actually do scale their business and they're constantly putting out fires and they have very low profit margins, and then they like have money and then they're trying to throw people at it. This is when you see people that have like really messy organizations that are full of people that are constantly putting out fires. It is literally a company, someone who didn't become the person that can create proper systems and processes and understand how to direct energy. Okay. Because when you think about what scaling is, it's just being like a master energy worker, like understanding I'm creating the channels for the energy to move through, whether it's like the channels to bring in clients at a higher and amplifying those channels, and then directing the energy, leading a team, okay? And being a masterful conductor and director of energy. That's all scaling is. Not to mention, if you keep this crappy solopreneur identity, you will have intense resistance to hiring on support and allowing yourself to be luxuriously supported, because it will literally butt directly against the scrappy do-it-all-yourself identity. Those two things literally cannot coexist, right? So you see people who don't do this identity work, they see that they're like, I'm drowning. So they hire on support because they're like, I literally can't hold it all myself. I'm like, I'm the strong Louisa from Encanto, but like, I'm still at my breaking point. But then they will start to, they'll bring on support to support them, and then they won't allow themselves to be supported, right? So they'll bring on support and then they micromanage their team. They don't trust their team. They're constantly checking, like they're like clicking into documents and making sure they're doing it right. They're like watching with like a hawk, right? Like they don't trust their team. And then they're not managing and leading and training their team. And then they're resentful that their team isn't making things any easier. But it's literally the entrepreneur's fault, because they are the ones who set the whole thing up from the scrappy solopreneur identity and then didn't become a masterful harnesser and director of energy. So their support team, like if your support team doesn't feel supportive, that's your fault. Right? And in order to become the person that can attract, hire, and train support that deliciously holds you, you have to do this identity work. You have to expand who you believe yourself to be. Believing you are a visionary with a real impact to make in the world. Believing you are a leader who is at the beginning of birthing an entire movement. Like really feel into like, holy cow, 98% of the people I'm going to serve in my lifetime haven't even heard my name yet. 98% of the people that I'm going to like work with and their entire lives are going to change, they haven't even come across me yet. And when you really believe that and you can feel into the magnitude of what you're going to do in this lifetime, your hiring decisions will change. The scrappy solopreneur sees their value in their ability to hold and carry large weights, to endure. And so you'll see this when women, when they're running their business and they refuse to hire childcare so that they have uninterrupted work time in their business, right? They're like trying to be scrappy. They're pretty scarce, right? So like they're not taking the time to be like, oh, if I just like paid a babysitter for a few hours, the quality of work would make way more money. But instead, I'm not going to be present in my business and I'm also not going to be present with my kids. And it's like going to be this scrappy, I'm going to like endure and strain thing, right? You see this when solopreneurs like delay hiring an assistant because like, oh, well, I know how to do it better. And like, if they do it, I'm just gonna have to fix it anyway. So like, what's the point? And I'm just gonna keep doing it myself. This is why you see solopreneurs get stuck at that six or low multiple six figure level. I somehow made it to $500,000 with this mindset and identity. And I promise you, I was buckling under the weight. Okay. I was like the Louisa from Encanto, like holding the 10 donkeys. And I only brought on support when I absolutely needed to, because otherwise I was going to break. Okay. I was holding so much that I ended my workday and I had zero interest or energy in being intimate or connecting sexually with my husband. In fact, the day would end and we'd get the kids to bed and I would be like, I have energy to watch TV and then go to sleep. Okay. And it feels useful, the scrappy identity. But if you're here, I want you to start to notice how heavy the weights are that you are carrying. Just start to notice. And sometimes we don't notice when we've been carrying those weights our whole lives, when all we have known is the identity of someone who my value is in how much weight I can carry. Okay. Now let's tune into the energy of the visionary leader. They are birthing an entire movement. 98% of the people who will be impacted and affected by their work in the world haven't even heard their name yet. The things they are creating deeply matter, and they know that their value doesn't come from how much weight they can carry, but rather from the sharpness of their vision and the clarity of the messaging with which they can express and enroll others into that vision. I want you to consider how much more deeply the visionary leader respects and regards themselves than the scrappy solopreneur. Think about how much respect and regard you have for yourself to bring on luxurious amounts of support. Again, I'm using words very intentionally here. So just notice if certain words are triggering you or if you're resistant to them, okay? Being a lazy queen, allowing luxurious amounts of support. Notice how you feel when it's about necessary support. Like, oh, well, if this is me, right? When I brought in support, I've got like $500,000. I'm like, I'm literally going to break. I can't carry one more thing by myself. I have to bring someone on to help me do the things that the business absolutely needs. That was where I was at. That was it, where I was like, I need to do what the business needs versus I'm following my desire of the company I know is possible. And I love being luxuriously supported. I love being deeply cherished. I love being held. It's so interesting, but the strongest leaders know when to surrender. The strongest leaders know when they need to be in their strong masculine leadership energy. But if they're in that energy all the time, they will burn out, right? And so the greatest leaders understand that they need those periods of being luxuriously supported, deeply cherished and lovingly held, just floating. I would just want you to imagine like being in water and having someone just like holding you and just allowing every single thing that you're holding up to just drop and to allow yourself to be held. That is the power of giving yourself the gift of growing a company that can hold you. And when you begin to step into believing you are someone that is worthy of that, it changes what you outsource. It changes what you delegate. It changes what you are willing to ask for. And it all comes down to how much you respect yourself, how deeply you regard yourself, and what you believe your value is. Do you believe your value is how much weight you can hold, how much strain you can endure, how much you can do it all yourself? Or do you believe your value is in the power of your vision and the clarity of your mind and body and your skill set of expressing and enrolling that vision, enrolling others into that? Because that, at the end of the day, that's what grows your business. That's what grows your business into so much more than I'm slinging out some marketing posts, right? And the deep knowing that when you are committed to leading powerfully, the most important thing you could possibly do is cultivate your radiance and your light. Part of that is allowing yourself to surrender, to do nothing, to be supported. And I want you to really consider what would change if you stopped thinking of support as a necessary thing you need to figure out so that you can get the bare minimum going so that your business can keep growing, right? That you have to like sort of keep grinding for it, to deeply tapping into your desire, the pulsing desire of a thriving business, and it holding you and seeing yourself within that as someone with an extremely special gift, with extremely important talents and skills for the world, to seeing yourself as someone who deserves to be cherished, that deserves to be held, not just in necessity before you break, but to be held just because you desire to be held. Just because it feels luxurious to surrender and allow yourself to be held and to be carried. It's fascinating because I pretty much coach almost exclusively women at this point. And I have found time and time again that the thing they have the hardest time with is actually unleashing those feminine energetics. The willingness to let go, the surrender, the softness, the willingness to trust, to be held, to be cherished, to be supported. And when I work with women on this, the truth is that they want it so badly, but they've been so deeply conditioned in a wounded masculine society that they don't even, it's like buried so deep, they can like feel the desire for it, but they don't even know how to access it. And I want to offer that that part of you, that soft part, that part that loves to be held, to be cherished, is just as valuable and just as important as the masculine part that goes out with the sword and penetrates the marketplace with all of the amazing marketing and selling. That soft embodied feminine is your receptivity. It is where you manifest from, where you receive guidance and downloads from, where your creativity springs from, where all of your juiciest ideas just sort of drop in, right? This is why when people say like they get their best ideas in the shower, it's because our society is so overrun with constant input that the shower is like the last frontier of where you even have the space for your body to relax and expand and allow things to drop in. And when I look at the leaders that I'm developing, it is people that have that experience in longer and larger stretches of their entire life. And the lazy queen isn't lazy after all when you consider it from this vantage point. She has to allow herself to soften, to open, to have luxurious amounts of white space in her calendar, to expand her capacity to receive the visions of where the company is going, to have the ability to be zoomed out and receiving what wants to come next so that she can go back into her masculine energetics and do it. It is insanely hard for high-performing women to relax, to just relax and be willing to receive, to be luxuriously supported. And you'll know this, you hear them, because when they go on vacation, they're like, oh, it takes me like 2 days to like feel dropped in. And you want to just start to notice if it takes you that much time, if you're so rigid and bound that it takes you that much time to relax and expand, right? That's not normal. Okay. That might be normal in a society that's very sick and conditioned in this wounded masculine place, but that doesn't mean it's normal. That doesn't mean it's healthy. Okay. And this has taken so much work for me to allow myself to relax, to be willing to receive, to be luxuriously supported. I've done so much work with the archetype of the queen. At this point, I have a house manager. She cooks my meals. She does the laundry. She does house projects and makes appointments and finds summer camps for the kids and plans the summer vacations that we take with the kids and then makes us the photo albums from the family vacations. When we went away for Christmas, she had the carpet on the stairs steam cleaned and put away the ornaments and brought down the Christmas tree. And grocery shopped and made some meals for us so that when we got home after 2 weeks of being away, we came home to a refrigerator that was full of fresh fruit and produce and nutritious, nourishing meals we could easily heat up. And I have support in my business where I have ruthlessly delegated everything that is not my absolute zone of genius. Now, this is very, very different than being a corporate manager. I want to double click into this because the nuance is so important. I spent my corporate career managing a lot of teams and people. And for sure, if you have management as a skill set, it's going to be so valuable once you move from solopreneur and you're coming into the phase of building out a company, becoming an entrepreneur, that management skill set 100% will light back up and will be helpful. Okay. And it's going to help you as you move to prep into scaling your business. But the identity of a corporate manager is not the identity of the queen of the kingdom. If anything, in my 9-to-5, I went from thinking of myself like in the beginning, and I think this is so normal when people start out, it's like, no, I'm going to be scrappy. I'm going to be willing to do whatever it is that you want me to do. If you want me to run and get you coffee, I'll run and get you coffee. If you want me to like, you know, do whatever like menial tasks, I'm fine, right? And when we're young and we don't have the experience and the skill, That can be our value, but we don't want to keep that our value, right? And so I had raised who I believed myself to be in my time in my 9-to-5. And in the last company that I worked for, I was just thinking about this yesterday. And I was like, oh, holy shit, this is so powerful. But in my last job as an employee, I was the hand of the king. So I was for the CEO, like I was a little bit like his therapist. Like I have always just been someone like people just know they can come and talk to me and I can hold space. And the space that I hold, like I have healing energy. And it is what you will notice this, if, especially if you're a coach, like you often will have some sort of healing ability you're not even aware of if you haven't done the energy work. But like people are just attracted to you and they just want to come talk to you about their problems, right? So I was this. For the CEO, I had risen to a level and I believed myself to be at this level that I was able to attract the CEO would come and talk to me about what he was struggling with. He would come and talk to me about what he wasn't sure, like where to take the company. And it was actually, there were two CEOs. It was a co-CEO role. And this one sort of had me, I was the hand of the king, right? I was his trusted confidant. And when there were things that he was at odds with the other person he ran the company with, he would come and talk to me about it. And we would sort of ping off and plan for his meetings when he was going to meet with the board of directors and when he was going to meet with the investors, right? And so I realized that even though I had that concept of myself as like, oh, I am the hand of the king, that's still not the king. That's still not the queen, right? So even if you've moved up and you were pretty high up in your role as an employee, if you weren't the CEO of the company, you were still not in the seat of the king or queen. The hand of the king might be able to sit next to the king, but they are the ones the leader trusts to go out and get shit done for them. And in order to step into the role of really being the visionary for the company, you have to be the one zoomed out and working on the business and not mired down, stuck in the business. Now, I know there is a lot of 9-to-5 trauma that lingers in our brains and bodies. And so a lot of us in this, if we felt we weren't treated fairly by the leaders where we were, then we will have this sort of subconscious resistance to becoming leaders or to delegating so many of those things because we're like, it didn't feel good. I didn't like how it was done to me, so I don't want to do it to others. And what I want to suggest if you're feeling any of that is like, it's not the delegation that's the problem, right? It's not being a leader that's the problem. It's the energy with which there was maybe power over dynamics that created an experience for you that didn't feel good. And so you want to clear the channel of the energetics. And then yes, you delegate. Yes, you lead. And because the energy, the transmission of the energy is cleaner, it works. The whole thing works. And of course, like there's a place where CEOs, yeah, like the energetics aren't clean. They abuse power. But this audience, like that's not us. The crew that I attract, we are so gold-hearted, so mission-oriented. It's like a little bit like if a mom wonders if she's a terrible mom, like it shows she deeply cares about being a mom and proves she's definitely not a bad mom because she's taking time to like scan over how she's showing up and how she wants to be even better for her kids. Okay. This is the same thing with starting to prepare to bring on a team to support you, to hold you as you begin to prep to scale and build a company. And this idea of being a lazy queen, I use it to just begin to tickle your brain a little bit on starting to release its attachment to business and money needing to be hard and starting to track where you judge people who let it be easy. But from a totally logical, strategic standpoint, the pleasure work you do in the mastermind is critical because it starts to literally reshape your nervous system. And it starts to allow your system to hold more sensation in the body for longer periods of time. Okay. And as you're doing the work of allowing more rest, allowing more pleasure, your access to more juicy creative ideas, that expands. Your access to your intuition, that expands. Your access to your higher level strategic thinking expands, right? And it's like the biggest lie that we've been told that being scrappy and hustling will get us there when being that way in your mind-body system literally cuts off your access to your best ideas, your highest level creativity, your intuition, and your higher level strategic thinking. Right? This is why people get stuck in cycles of under-earning because they aren't taking the time to become someone different that can actually channel a cleaner transmission. I was recently listening to Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, that no matter where you stand on if Amazon should be as big as it is, you have to recognize that Bezos has in just our lifetimes. I want you to seriously think about this. Amazon didn't start as a company until 1994. In less than 30 years from ground zero, they have completely reshaped essentially how all of us as consumers buy and how all of retail works. Okay. That's fucking incredible. So anyway, Bezos was talking about how with his top executives, some of his best advice for them is to stop working so much that they have been trained that they're like often on their laptops, checking email at night, working like late into the evenings, whatever. And they need to stop doing that. In order to be powerful executives, they need to stop doing that and they need to delegate and they need to actually just go to fucking bed and get more sleep. And he went on to talk about how the value for, to him as the CEO, the value of his top executives is not in the day-to-day of the work of what they're doing. He wants them to stop doing so much. Okay. Because their value is in their ability to be zoomed out and really keyed in to where the company is headed. It takes a lot less doing and a lot less being zoomed out on top of where the company is going. And their ultimate value is being able to be so zoomed out and keyed in, drinking all of it in, right? And then being able to just make a handful of key decisions that keep the company flourishing and headed in the exact direction that Bezos wants it to go. So if my words of like visionary or queen or leader, like either felt triggering because they are too big or they would require you to like elevate your regard for yourself, I definitely want you to work on that, right? But in the meantime, just thinking about like, this is how Jeff Bezos did it. It's literally just business strategy. It's just what is absolutely required to go from being someone who's like a scrappy solopreneur to someone that's running a proper company. And so as you prep to scale, and of course, for many of you who are earlier on, this might not even be your work in the first or second round of the mastermind with me, because we need to first get you marketing and selling. But for those of you that are nearing around 100K or so, and you're really ready to zoom in, like, let's get going, this is game time. This is going to be the work, probably even just in your first round with me. We have to start making a plan for you to not be so bogged down in the day-to-day of being in the business. And we have to make a plan for you to, in the next few years, be really zoomed up and out and mostly working on the business and on delegating out anything that isn't the highest, best use of your time and really keeping you in your absolute zone of genius. So it's, and like, also to just challenge if you think that's going to take a long time. This is the same thing as like, I'm willing for it to be hard and I'm willing for it to be easy, right? But I'm not expecting for it to be hard. You want to look for, I'm willing for it to take as long as it takes. I'm also willing for it to happen super fast. And I'm going to put all of my active energy into what my part of co-creation is to make it happen quickly. Like in just a couple of weeks, I'm going to have a client on. She's in her second round of the mastermind with me. She did actually close to $200,000 by the end of her first year. And so she's now in her first 18 months and we're already looking. She's hired her first employee. She's like really looking to start scaling herself. But she actually is. She's not looking to. She literally is. She started delegating out the delivery of client deliverables to her employee. So it can happen so much faster than you might think. Okay. And just prepare for that shift to be uncomfortable, okay? If you've thought of yourself as, and if, I'm so sorry, if you haven't seen Encanto, you're like missing this, but you're going to have to just Google image search Louisa from Encanto. And it's this like super strong woman and she's like holding like 10 donkeys, right? So if you've been taught that that's what your value is how much you can hold. And that's what makes it like, that's what allows you to be proud of yourself is like, if you were able to hold so much, it's going to be uncomfortable, this identity transition. Okay. Like the idea that you get to live the rest of your life as someone who only works in their zone of genius. And any donkey that you're carrying that isn't your zone of genius, you delegate that out and pass it off. That is the key that will unlock so much more of your success. But it's a bit of a culture shock when you've spent a life going through the school system and college being groomed to be an employee that would spend your life working to build someone else's vision. Okay. This is like the work. I'm not doing that anymore. I have a vision, which makes me a visionary, and I'm building my own thing. Okay. It takes so much respect and regard for yourself and your value and your gifts to upgrade. You have to upgrade your belief in all of that to make this jump. And I had to grow my awareness of how deeply I was clinging to that scrappy solopreneur identity. Like even in the little things, like I had a team, but I was still booking my own flights and travel. I actually remember it was probably like a year ago and I had to get coaching on like, it seemed like, this is the thing where you're like, that's so small, but it was like death by a thousand cuts because there were so many things that like I was spending my time doing that were not the highest, best use of like, oh no, no, no. Like what I'm doing in this world, like is fucking big time, right? So if I'm spending my cognitive energetic load booking my own flights and travel and like doing my laundry and like all of that shit, like my energy is my energy is my energy. And I have to really be so aware of how I'm spending my time, of how I'm spending my energy. And when I asked myself why I was still booking my own flights and my own travel, it was because being like, it didn't feel like, oh, no, no, I'm not like, I'm not the kind of person that like has others book their travel for them. And then it was also, I had that 9-to-5 trauma of like, I had had executives treat me as like, I was often the only woman on the team. So things would get delegated to me like, oh, can you get the Christmas gifts for the clients? Can you like do those kinds of things? And I had to untangle so much of that because I would never want to do that from the other to another person. And so this is going back to like, you have to clean up if you have any, in your energetics, right? If there's anything around being willing to delegate, you have to clean that up and just clean the transmission of the energy. And then yes, you have to delegate in order to scale. You have to expand your identity. You have to elevate who you believe you are in the world. Okay. And so I just want you to just start to scan and explore where the codes of the scrappy Puritan who puts their nose to the grindstone and can overcome adversity and can be the woman who can hold so much, where those codes live inside of your business. And then I want you to scan and explore, where do the codes of the visionary queen who allows herself to be luxuriously supported, where do those codes live? And the answer might be that they live deep inside of you, but they have not been activated. And if that's true, you just want to become aware of that. Now, one last thing is a lot of you guys are going to think that you have to have tangible results in your hand right now, like visionary results that show you that you can believe you're a visionary, right? That show, oh, I'm allowed to think I'm a visionary queen and I'm allowed to elevate my identity because I have these results that like match it that I'm like, I've created in my business. But that's backwards. I really want you to consider that you have to do this foundational identity shift to completely elevate your regard for yourself and your work in the world, to respect yourself and what you're here to do with your work, like 100 times more than you are right now. And that only when you do that will you start to create from that place and shift your external reality. I'm spending a lot of time on this because it's one of the things I've noticed as a sort of epidemic among, I've been around a lot of communities, and this is completely something that most solopreneurs that get stuck struggling to transition to being an entrepreneur, building a proper company, right? Making $200,000 feeling like a scrappy DIYer who finds their worth and how heavy the weights are and can carry that. It's a very different quality of money than someone who's making $200,000 in pleasure and precision, who is well fucked, well rested, and well paid, who is luxuriously supported, who has a high regard for themselves and literally feels that respect and love and regard in how they treat themselves, hiring the best mentorship to support them, starting to plan out strategic hires to allow themselves to be more and more luxuriously supported. The quality of your money that you're bringing in matters just as much as the quantity. And so you just want to start to notice if you're willing to sacrifice yourself for a higher quantity. Because that's a certain identity of a person, right? And you just want to tune into your body right now and see which one feels better for you. See which one lights up desire for you. You deserve to be cherished and luxuriously supported, well fucked, well rested, and well paid. You've got to get in there and get it done. Too tired for sex, burnt out, and wheeling and dealing marketing posts to bring home the bacon. Just get it done. I have seen people make hundreds of thousands of dollars from both of those energies. I myself have made hundreds of thousands of dollars from both of those places. And I promise you that the quality of the money you create matters just as much as the quantity. And the last thing I want to tap into here is really feeling into being luxuriously held and supported. Because obviously in the mastermind, we will have those juicy immersion days to really drop in together. You will have my eyes on your brain, your body, and your business for the 5 months following it. And you will be luxuriously held and supported by the other women in the mastermind. And we will begin making a plan, a strategic plan, and putting all the systems and processes in place for you to bring in more and more cash on the front end from a well-rested and deeply relaxed place that you can then begin making investments into bringing on team that deeply holds you. But before we even drop in together in May, because remember, you guys are going to be your enrollment. What is it? Enrollment is February 27th to March 1st, I think, right? But we will start together in May, right? So you're going to enroll in a few weeks and then we don't kick off together until May. So I want you to start until that time. I want you to start feeling into how luxuriously supported you are right now by the universe. As we make the transition into being leaders who allow ourselves to be deeply held and luxuriously supported, it is so, so important to see how deeply the universe is already doing this. Like, do you track when new people seem to find you in the weirdest ways and the oddest places? Do you track when there seems to be this odd synchronicity? I promise you, it is always there. And it's a skill to start to begin seeing it, to begin tracking it. And when you begin tracking it, it gets pretty wild. Like, especially in this past year, when I really came into alignment and really started working where I was intuitively being guided to go, following the pulses of my desire, right? So for those of you who, like, maybe intuition doesn't resonate quite yet, but your intuition is always just following your genuine pulses of desire. That's all intuition is. And it has been this insane wave of magic of new people finding me, of waves of referrals. And I know referrals come from just, like, I know it's like, yes, we're out there in the world and we're deeply serving and that's what creates referrals. But I know that when I'm deeply serving where Source has guided me to go, Source is always rising to meet me and co-conspire with me. Like, actually, for those of you that went through my Kingdom Creation Masterclass, which, by the way, if you're listening to this in real time, we're getting ready to take that down soon and we're going to replace it with a new masterclass. So if you're listening to this in real time and you haven't watched the Kingdom Creation Masterclass, I highly recommend it. You can head to my website, www.katherinemorsoncoaching.com, to grab it. And if you're listening to this later, we will keep that masterclass inside of the bonus section of the Brand Alchemy Accelerator. So you will always have access to it there inside of the accelerator. But when I ran that class, you'll know when you start to hear me in the beginning, when you listen to the masterclass, you'll hear all of these people came to the call and started telling me these stories, like person after person after person, about how they had, like, wanted to come to the masterclass when I started marketing it, but, like, they had a time conflict, like they had a client call or an appointment or whatever. And literally, like, all of these obstructions got canceled. Person after person after person was, like, dropping into the chat, like, oh, I'm so glad I could be here. This, like, client call randomly got canceled. Oh, I'm so glad I could be here. Like, this thing, right? Like, everything got canceled. And all of these people on the call that day were talking about how wild it was that all of this stuff on their calendar suddenly moved so that they were able to attend. And I did not just gloss over that as a wild coincidence. I clocked it. And I literally let that experience drip into every cell of my body, encode into every cell of me how deeply held I am by the universe. You'll have heard of there's like so many people that come on with accelerator stories now about how they, like, randomly find me or during a meditation they're guided to join. Like, I am so deeply held by the universe and I do not take that lightly. Or tiny little things. Like, there was this time a few months back, I was about to go to this one bakery and instead I got an intuitive nudge to, like, go to this completely different one that I, like, rarely go to. And so I just trust my intuitive nudges. So I was like, that's fine. Okay. I'll go to the other bakery. And at that bakery, I posted on Instagram that I was there. And then the business, like, reshared the Instagram story I'd posted. And then a dude at the bakery came up to me because he had seen my Instagram and saw I was a coach. And he'd been feeling really stuck in his photography business, and he was looking for a coach. Like, he literally had a consult with a coach scheduled like that weekend. And as we talked, I gave him lots of referrals, lots of resources. And I learned he's like super plugged into the higher consciousness community here in Austin, which is so fun. It's like, there's such a large higher consciousness community that like we were both plugged into it, but just like we knew connections that sort of knew each other. Right. But I know that me following that intuitive nudge was the divine universe, the guidance of the universe holding me. And I know that it mattered to one of our timelines. Maybe he's since referred me to like 17 people, and 3 of them are listening right now. And one of them is about to come into the mastermind and be my next wild client success story. And that's why I had to go to the bakery that day. Maybe the coaching I offered him changed the trajectory of his life, and he's now in a totally different place. And I spend my time in this realm of imagination and this joy of possibility of wondering, what is the impact of the timelines as I jump and follow my guidance? Because marinating here helps my brain drop into the knowing of how deeply held I am always by the universe. Like, are you doing that? Are you spending time tracking and encoding into your body how luxuriously supported you are by the universe? And if your brain wants to immediately go to where and when you haven't felt supported, I want to encourage you to shake your brain like an Etch-a-Sketch, clear the screen, and ask it to tell you a different story. Ask it to scan for where and when you have been divinely held. When you spend time scanning for these, noticing these, and you clock and acknowledge them, the synchronicities seem to increase. Sort of like when someone acknowledges and feels deeply grateful towards you, it creates an energetic dynamic that strengthens you desiring to keep showing up for them. So you definitely don't need to wait until we start the next round in May to start doing this work, okay? You don't have to wait for me and the mastermind to luxuriously support you. Of course, we're going to, but you can start doing this work here and now. And I promise you, if you really do this work of just really deepening into how divinely held you are by the universe in the next few months, I promise you will be in a totally different space when you come into the mastermind in May and we drop into those immersion days. Which, if you're new, we begin every round of the mastermind with 3 immersion days. It is seriously so luxurious, so amazing. It is part ancient mystery school, part spiritual retreat, and part high-level business training and masterminding. But do not wait for us to start in May together. Start dropping into the feeling of how luxuriously supported you are by the universe, by synchronicity, by spirit working through strangers to serve you, and by spirit working through you to serve others. Maybe someone buys a coffee for you. Maybe a neighbor offers to watch your kids. Track those. Maybe someone finds you through a super weird synchronicity and drops in to hire you super fast. Track those, they matter, and I promise they count. Notice if you try to discount them. You are luxuriously supported already and divinely held and cherished. And now that we've covered the identity piece and really dropped in with that, I want to swing back around briefly and double click into the practical things we are then working on inside of Pleasure and Precision, the things we're implementing and creating as we shift you into this elevated and more expansive way of being. We've covered a lot of the mindset and identity shift today that I want to start working with you all on as you're prepping to scale and really build a proper company. This is real entrepreneurship. This is the big game, where we come to make a big impact and where we open ourselves up to bigger prizes. In terms of the tactical ways we're going to tackle this in the mastermind, we start building out a roadmap, like a proper business plan. Like, seriously, if you are listening and remember in the beginning, I said, if you're in your first like 50K, you can listen, just know it's coming. This is like when people think they need the proper business plan in the very beginning, it's like, no, you need to like go sign clients. And then once you have some clients coming in, it's like, okay, we have a proof of concept. This is working. Now let's really start to get a proper business plan in place on like how we're going to take what's working and not just double down, but like 10x down on it and really start to build this into a company that routes you to that bigger vision you have. right? We build out the content strategy, the body of work that you're going to begin creating to get you there, and the precision work in your marketing and selling to really amplify those waves of clients coming in, the messaging work to really shorten the time frame of someone joining your audience and dropping in to buy. Because listen, the universe is always blessing us. The universe is always divinely holding us. But us sharpening our entrepreneurial skill sets is our side of the deal, okay? That's our part in the co-creation. I'll cover a bit more on the front end piece next week. And if you're newer to my audience and all of this back end talk on this episode feels like a little advanced for you or like above your head, you can just scroll back. I have literally so many episodes on marketing, selling, creating demand. And also just, I have so many client interviews with people I have helped grow from ground zero to their first 100K, their first 250,000, their first 500,000, and on, right? So you can, if you're new to my audience, just scroll back. You will find so many examples of those that you can tune into that will give you a sense of the marketing and selling work you will come in and do with me in the mastermind, okay? But I really want to talk about what happens after that, right? Because the marketing and selling piece, like I've been doing that for years, but what I've noticed is in my last mastermind that I had for my clients, I marketed as learn to create $10,000 months, but I'm so good at teaching and coaching on the front end piece, that front end precision of marketing and selling. And I attract such amazing bomb ass clients that come in and apply the coaching that like we weren't doing $10,000 months. People were coming in and hitting like $40,000 months, $50,000 months. We even had like a handful of $60,000 and $70,000 months, like a 30-day period, right? And the thing is, when you start having that flood of clients and income come in on the front end from that front end business precision work we're doing in the mastermind, you really need to start having your eye on building a back end, on having precision in the back end of where you're directing the energy, where you're directing all of those systems and processes, where you're putting all of it on the back end. And as more and more clients come to work with you, you want to really look at what tasks you're doing over and over and over again. And you want to start to scan for inefficiency or things that aren't the highest, best use of your time. And we need to start planning on how to remove you as the bottleneck to the business's growth. And the more I've done the systems and support work, seriously, since I brought on a team like 18 months ago or so, we have been straight up heads down building the rocket ship. And because it, like, we recently hosted a summit and I love that it's just like a thing for the people that have been my audience for a long time. I had a human design person that ran a session and she was like, as we all know, Catherine got to $500,000 without support. And I guess I'm a manifester. So technically we're supposed to be very good at like initiating. And then we like, it's good for us to have support on the back end. So if you're a manifester, it might be good to know to like bring on support before you think you need it. Right. Don't just follow an arbitrary rule like me. And as you're bringing on these clients, you need to start looking at what the fuck is an SOP, okay? If you're hearing the word SOP and you don't know what it is, don't worry. You can come in. I'm actually even sharing, just straight up sharing SOPs from my company with some of my clients in the mastermind. I was like, oh, like marketing repurposing. Literally, here's a doc. Just take this template and use what works and scrap the rest, anything that doesn't apply to you. But if I've already built something, I don't want you to have to rebuild it. There's no reason to, right? And understanding what systems and processes like are and how to implement them, how to start to think about what support to hire first, how to attract and hire and train people, all of that stuff. I promise you that if you are earlier on in your business, this stuff applies to you so much more than you think it does. I never got coaching on my back end for my first 500,000. And it was such a huge blind spot. There were so many ways I was being so inefficient with my time, so inefficient with my effort, so inefficient with my energy, because I literally just did not understand what the back end of a business was. I didn't understand what an SOP was. I didn't understand how to create SOPs. I didn't understand why I would have them. I didn't understand the benefits of them, right? Like I didn't put myself in a space where that was even discussed or like done at all, right? It wasn't a thing that the community was talking about. And because of that, I was so tired. And I just didn't know how to leverage systems, how to leverage processes, how to leverage technology, how to leverage support. Okay. Like, listen, the verb here is 100% leverage. We want to start for what can you do with the least amount of effort? Because listen, it's going to take a lot of effort to scale your business, but you want to think about, for the effort I'm putting out, how do I leverage it like 50 times, right? For the effort I put, the impact is like 50 times that. And we want to start to leverage that with systems and processes. And there are ways to create leverage in your marketing and selling. Like we're going to break down like what is passive marketing and what can you start to repurpose? When do you not want to repurpose? When is it too premature? Where do you want to stay really active in your marketing and your selling, in your delivery, in your back end that allow you to stop being the scrappy entrepreneur? And like, listen, you are incredibly strong. You are profoundly capable of enduring and doing hard things. None of that is even in question. But in order to do more than survive, in order to really thrive, in order to go from solopreneur to entrepreneur, we really need to look at working smarter, not harder. We really need to look at you ascending into your position on the throne. And when you start understanding how to think in systems, how to apply process to things from earlier on in your business, I'm talking like your first $50,000, we really want to start having these conversations, you are able to build and thrive so much faster. Like there is a time and a place for throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks. But there's a time when that strategy starts to literally cap and limit your ability to thrive and scale. There's so much to be proud of for doing that and getting your business to the place where you're signing clients. But in order to thrive, and not only thrive in terms of the quantity of money, but also the quality of your money, remember, deeply held, luxuriously supported, a leader, a visionary. In order to become that woman, the leader who allows herself to surrender and to be held so that she is well rested and nourished and feels refreshed to come back and penetrate the marketplace with all her genius once it drops into her. In order to become that woman, you must learn to stop holding everything yourself. You have to give up the pride in being scrappy and being able to do it all yourself. Because you're strong enough to hold so much. But you're smart enough to distribute the weight so that you can enjoy the kingdom that you've created, so that you can luxuriate in being deeply supported while helping more and more people and welcoming in higher and higher levels of wealth. Applications for the next round of Pleasure and Precision will enroll February 27th to March 1st. You will apply and then we will begin together in mid-May with our juicy dropped-in 3-day immersion retreat. To get your name on the waitlist, head to www.katherinemorsoncoaching.com/mastermind. I'll see you there. If you are loving what you are learning on the podcast and you're ready to cultivate and radiate your unique frequency out into the marketplace so that your audience stops the scroll, sees you, and drops in to buy, your next step is joining us in the Brand Alchemy Accelerator. Once you're energetically unbound, we take the work deeper as you prepare for the solopreneur to entrepreneur transition in the Pleasure and Precision Mastermind, more deeply cultivating your energy and then learning to powerfully harness and direct it on the front end through the precision of your marketing and selling, and on the back end through setting up a business that feels like it's holding you instead of you feeling like it's one more thing you have to take care of. Head to www.katherinemorsoncoaching.com to learn more.